You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
I came across a survey this past week that was really kind of interesting. Interesting on this hand, but and disturbing on this hand over here. And this is what I read. So 14,000 people took this survey. And how many people do we have in Paulsville? 7,000 or something like that. So like double the amount of people that we have in the Paulsville proper, right, took this survey online. And it represented men and women of all ages. Well, when they compiled all the facts, well, here's what they found out, all the input. Like 75% of those people who took that survey are not happy with themselves. They would change something about themselves. They don't like who they are. And I stepped back and I reflected, and I thought, you got to be kidding. 75% of the people. That means if you just kind of look down your row right now, count 10 people. Okay, count 10 people. Seven aren't happy with who you are. But let's do this. We're in Paulsville. We're in a different state, right? That's not us, right? Or maybe we're a follower of Jesus, or, you know, but so let's just say it's 50%. Let's just say that same row that you just counted, those heads you just counted, is not seven, maybe it's five. But 50% of people are not happy with who they are? And what if it's 30%? Just think about for just a moment. Here's what I want to leave you with today. I want to challenge you. This morning, as we continue our series, Living the Jesus-Centered Mission. What's it look like for you, and what's it look like for me to live the Jesus-Centered Mission? To be a gateway, we talk about, I'm going to show you that in just a little bit, to be a gateway for all generations. What's it look like in our life for us to do that? And here's what I want to leave you with. Just remember this, if you forget everything else I say, Jesus wants to use the you in you for him. Okay, I'll say it again. Jesus wants to use the you in you for him. I'll unpack that just a little bit more, but if you have your Bibles, just go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and it might be your Bible app, your phone, your tablet, whatever it is that you have. And again, if you're here and you tapped into YouVersion Live, all my teaching notes are there this morning, and you'll find this passage here. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'll actually read verse number 4. The Lord gave this message, and it was to Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Here's a message to Jeremiah. I formed you in your mother's room. Before you were even born, I set you apart, right, and appointed you as my prophet to share to the nations. Well, in the same way that Jeremiah was charged with that, if you're a follower of Jesus, so are we. God created the you in you for him, to share the message of freedom to those people that we come in contact with. And that's what we're talking about in this series, Living the Jesus-Centered Mission. And I want us to just kind of sit on that for a moment. Just kind of unpack the you in you for just a second. If you're a carpenter, God created the you in you. God created the carpenter in you for him. And there are a lot of really good carpenters here. If you're a tradesman of any kind, whatever your vocation, if you're a plumber, if you're a contractor, God created the plumber in you. God created the gift in you for him. If you're a business owner, and we have a lot of business owners, guess what? God created that in you for him. If you're a teacher, God created the teacher in you for him. Now, can I just ask us to do something this morning? Kind of in light of this poll, this research, and whatever percentage that we might fall into, can I just ask us in this moment to kind of receive that? You see, because a lot of us truly probably wish we were something else, somebody else, and maybe we even had this question, I just don't know, how can I be used? But can we just receive right now the person that we are and allow God to use the you in you for him? We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment and throughout this message, because that's what I want to talk about as we kind of dive into what's it like to be a gateway for all generations. You see, you are less than what God created you for if you hide yourself, your talents, your gifts, your insights, your joy, the you in you that includes your suffering and your pain, by the way, your life experiences, if you hide those things away from others. Because God wants to use that. Now, it's real easy for us probably to go, you know what, I got the talents and the gifts thing, and I got all of that over here, but the pain and the suffering? And I go, huh? Because God wants to use the pain, the talents, the gifts, whatever it is that you are, the you and you, and those things also include the experiences in life. And some of them include pain and suffering. So God wants to use the you and you, and he wants to use your life experiences for him. Can we just receive that? See, last week we talked about going, and we took that word go out of Matthew chapter 28, where, you know, sometimes you've heard Matthew 28 as the marching orders of the church, or, you know, the Great Commission, where Jesus says to go into all nations, you know, and make disciples. The command is make disciples. But the go, we kind of sat on it for a little bit because we understood that that word really means going. So it's not that I went, it's that I'm going, as I'm living out my life for Jesus, and now the you and you, I'm going, I'm living for him, and we're making disciples. That is, we're sharing the good news of the gospel. Now here's a vision statement of Gateway Fellowship. Here it is, right here. The Jesus-centered mission of Gateway Fellowship is to be a gateway for all generations to experience life-giving hope and care that positively influences our community, our region, and our world. That's why we exist. The Jesus-centered mission of Gateway Fellowship is to be a gateway for all generations to experience life-giving hope and care, which, by the way, only is found in Jesus, that positively influences what our community, our region, and our world. That's why we exist. And so in this series, Living the Jesus-Centered Mission, we've been kind of taking apart our vision statement and talking about it so that we all know where we're going and where Jesus is leading us. And so today I want to talk about a gateway for all generations. And in just a moment, I have a few people who are going to help me define what a gateway really is. But think back to the Sermon on the Mount, or that passages in Matthew chapter 5 and so on, where Jesus just says this. He reminds us of why we're here. He says in his teaching, no one places a light, what? In a place where it can't be seen. In other words, no one places a light over here and then covers it up where it can't be seen. Because he asks us a question, what good is that? And then we understand that we are the light, right? And each one of us, through our lives, we're the light and the darkness. Whoever you are, whatever you are, the you and you, the person God created, whatever it is that he's taking you through, your experiences, he wants to use you in his service for him. If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? You have a future. I read this past week, this little quip. It was actually on my Twitter feed. I loved it though, and so I wrote it down. It was this: that every sinner has a future, or every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. And think of it this way. If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? You have a past. I have a past, right? We were far from God. But when we crossed over and we placed our trust and faith in him, suddenly we have a future. And that future includes living out the Jesus-centered mission. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, there's a future for you. And living out the Jesus-centered mission is the most exciting thing that we can do, because we're introducing people into life, the hope and care that only Jesus can give. Now, what's a gateway? Check it out. I got some people to help me.
A gateway.
A gateway is like a path where the gate opens.
Really? What's a gateway?
A gateway to heaven?
What's a gateway?
I don't know.
Okay, what's a gateway?
A school.
School or church? Oh, okay, that's awesome. What is a gateway?
I don't know.
Okay, ready? What's a gateway?
It's an access point.
Awesome! You're really smart. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're one of the smartest second graders I know.
Bye.
Some of our students over at the school. But it's an access point. It's a point of introduction. That's what a gateway is. Practically, what does it mean here? See, some think of a gateway as kind of a barrier. So as soon as we think of gateway, we think of a gate. And you got to have like the right key, or you got to have the right access code to get in. If you don't hit the numbers just right, you just can't get in. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a gateway, an access point, or a point of introduction. We are far away from having to try to unlock the code. That's not why we exist. That's not why Gateway Fellowship exists. We want to be an access point, a point of introduction to introduce people to Jesus. We so long to make the message of Jesus accessible that we're willing to do some things that even look foolish and we might get criticized for. Think about it. I was challenged in my reading again this past week as went through Samuel chapter 6. And every time I go through this passage, every time I find myself saying, Jesus, that's the passion I want to live with. I want to get to that spot where, you know what, I just don't care what people think. I want to be so excited about what Jesus is doing. I want people to see that, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes for that to happen. And I was convicted again, I was challenged again as I read this past week of David. And something he says here, in just a moment I'm going to read it to you, but sending as he's moving the ark, and he's ridiculed for something. And as he gets close to the Michal, and that's her name, she's a daughter of Saul, and she observes him doing something, and goes on and says this in verse number 16. I'll just kind of jump around. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. You can read it later. It says, when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. So she looks out and she observes him leaping and dancing, right, for the Lord. And she's filled with contempt. And so when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. And she said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do. And by the way, that's probably not exactly what happened. It's not what we may be thinking right now. But David retorted to Michal. He says, I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all of your family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. I mean, he is excited about what God was doing and who God was. And then he goes on. This is the verse that every time I underline it and I go, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to be. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. And I found myself stopping at that point again and saying, God, what is it that I'm willing to do? Am I willing to do whatever it takes in my own life? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Even risking looking foolish, maybe being criticized for the purpose of getting out the message of Jesus? See, the best way to understand that passage right there is to see Michael's disgust and reaction being more related to David and forgetting about his royal position and acting like a commoner. In other words, what she was saying is, look, you're the king and you really shouldn't be acting like that. You're something, you shouldn't be acting like this. And so it caused her to be filled with disgust and contempt. But here's our desire. If the church, and remember when I say church, I'm talking about our faith community here. If the church or our faith community has traditionally been viewed as a place that is far from culture, hard to get to because we have some barrier, not easily accessed, we want to be the exact opposite. We want to be a faith community that begins with our lives individually, and then as a faith community, as Gateway Fellowship, as a church, we want to be the exact opposite. We want to be easy. We want to be a gateway. We want people to come into new life with Jesus. We want to be the church right where people are. Here's what needs to happen for that to be true. Individually, we must see ourselves as a gateway, an access point, a point of introduction for people who are far from Jesus. Talk about that in a moment. As a church, as a faith community, we collectively must be a gateway, inviting people in, doing whatever it is that we need to do to reach out to people who are far from Jesus. That's why we do the Day of Hope. That's why we did the George Winston concert, because it will allow us to reach out into the community. That's why we're doing the Alpha Group. That's the why behind the what, so that we can be an access point introducing people to Jesus. Let me talk about those two things. See, Jesus was criticized for that very thing. He was criticized for that very thing. I mean, in Luke chapter 5, there's an event where he was criticized. And here's what happened, because Jesus is hanging out with some pretty shady characters, you see. And here's what it says. You can turn, if you want, Luke chapter 5, verses 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector. Now, by the way, tax collectors, I mean, they were not their favorite people of the day, right? And they were basically thieves. Levi, he was sitting at his tax collector's booth. And Jesus says, "Follow me and be my disciple." Jesus said to him, so Levi got up, left everything and followed him. So Jesus says, "Follow me," and he does. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as a guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with him. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Can you just kind of sense the contempt they had there? But then Jesus answered them, and I love this, because in my Bible, I actually wrote the word gateway there, because that's what's happening. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." It's not the healthy that need a doctor. Sick people do. In order to be light, we must go where the darkness is. And all of a sudden, there's that tension maybe that we're even feeling right now. Well, how do I come out and be separate from the world but still be a friend? Think about it. In James, chapter 4 talks about that. It says if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You see, here's what's happening. There are two objects of affection. There's Jesus and the world. And by the way, what sets the follower of Jesus apart from the non-follower of Jesus is that we're headed in a different direction. So if you're a follower of Jesus, we're not perfect. There isn't one of us who is perfect outside of what Christ has done. What makes us different is that we're headed in this direction, this way. The non-follower of Jesus or the world is heading in the opposite direction. And we have these two hugs, so two tugs in both different directions. So James says this, and this is the tension that we feel. What's it mean like to be a friend with the world? What James is talking about are the pleasures that lure men's heart away. So the pleasures that lure us from heading towards Jesus and walking in this direction to this direction is to adopt the world's set of values, to adopt those and make them our own, and want the world's standards instead of choosing God's standards. That's what he's talking about. So there's this tension. How do we live in this world? How do we be a gateway or an access point for everyone and those who are far from Jesus? By the way, let me just remind us of something really important. Someone was a gateway for you. Someone was a gateway for me. You see, there was a time when we were far from Jesus, but someone, through their friendship, through the relationship, introduced us to Jesus, the only one who can offer hope and care, the only one who can offer eternity. Someone introduced you and me to him, and they were a gateway. The Institute of American Church Growth says this: about 75 to 90% of new believers come to Christ through a friend or an acquaintance. Someone who served as a gateway, an entry point, a point of introduction. That's what we're called to be. Now, I enjoy fishing. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy going out. But there's a couple things I know about fishing. Number one, you gotta go where fish are. Great opportunity for you to go like, duh, you know. But listen, there's another thing too. Fish have to be hungry. So have you ever been in a situation, I have, I don't know how many times, where you can actually, the water is so clear, you can actually look down and see fish? I've done it, and I've seen those fish, and some of them are really big. And so I'll put whatever I'm putting on my line, you know, fly or bait, whatever it is you fish, and I dropped it down there, and I hold it right there, and they don't eat. I hate that. Because I'm just getting ready to, well, yank their life away, actually. That's what I'm getting ready to do, you know. But you hold it down there, and they'll come up and they bump it. And they don't eat. Do you know why they don't eat? Yeah, they're not hungry. That's why. Think about that for a moment. They're not hungry. They're not searching. You see, I believe that as we live out the Jesus-centered mission, as we seek to be a gateway, that Jesus is going to connect us and give us opportunity with people who are hungry, who are seeking. I'm a typical man, and the only time I go to the doctor is when, the last time I was at the doctor says, "Why are you here?" And I had to be honest, because my wife made the appointment. That's why I was here. You know, it's the only reason I'm here. You know, no reason to be here. She made the appointment and said, "You're going." And then yesterday I wake up, and this cold had kind of settled in. And so Jen, she goes and she gets this stuff. I don't know why they can't make medicine that tastes good, but she gets this stuff, and it's echinacea. Are you with me? Okay, so now we're not talking about echinacea tea. That's not bad. She gets the straight stuff, you know, like 100% echinacea. It tastes lousy, bad. Yeah, and so she says, "Here, you're taking this," and I said, "No, I'm not." And she said, "Yes, you are." And every time she said, "Yes, you are," she put a whole other eyedropper in this glass of juice. She said, "You're taking this." And I said, "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are." Plump, another one. And I said, "How much am I supposed to take?" She said, "30 drops." "So you just put like 150 drops into that bar. I'm not doing it." And she said, "Yes, you are." And then so I took it. And that was the end of that story right there. But you see, I don't think I needed it. I don't think I needed it. Compare that to, I'm out riding my bike some years ago, and I go over the top of my bike, and I hit a log, and I crack my skull. And in fact, it was just a couple of days later, I had brain stuff coming down. You know, it was not good. But different story now. Now I need a doctor. And now I get home, and I say, "Take me to the doctor. Could he get me to the doctor?" And so she's driving to the ER room, and I'm saying, "You're not driving fast enough. You see, I need a doctor." You see what happened? See the difference? Is I was at a point of need in my life. Here's what I believe. That as we live out the Jesus-centered mission in our life, that he'll connect us with people who are searching, people who have no hope in life, people who have no future in life, and they think, "Is this all it?" Jesus said himself, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And I believe that Jesus will connect us with people who are searching and are saying, quote, "Get me to the doctor." And as we do, as we live out our life, as we become a gateway for him, those people will be introduced to Jesus and brand new life. I believe it. But will we be the light that moves into the darkness? I read about a church that did this little skit. And it's a pretty powerful skit, really. And they had a couple of people on the stage. And one was a follower of Jesus and one wasn't. And so this is kind of how it went. The unbeliever had questions to the follower of Jesus. And so they're standing outside their gathering, outside their church. And the conversation kind of goes like this. The unbeliever said to his Christian friend, "I'd like to get together with you and ask some questions." Huh? There's a person seeking. The Christian looked at his calendar and said, "Well, Monday I've got to go to a prayer meeting." You know where I'm going with this, don't you? "Tuesday I've got a Bible study. Wednesday I've got church. Thursday, I've got choir practice. Friday, I'm having dinner with my Sunday school class. Saturday, I'm in evangelism training course. And, of course, Sunday is church." And he said, "Well, what about the next week?" The man said, "Well, Monday, I've got a church planting meeting. I've got Tuesday Bible study on Tuesday. Wednesday is church. Thursday is choir practice. Friday is men's meeting. And on Saturday, I'm going to Six Flags with my Sunday school class. And, of course, Sunday is church." And, by the way, kind of parenthetically, if that's you, stop it. I'm serious. I'm going with my Sunday school class to church, and as the lights dimmed on the stage, the final line of that skit was this: "Will anyone have lunch with me?" And I just think, I just know that there are people out there who are saying that, "Will anyone have lunch with me? Will anyone show me the way?" And they may not say it in exactly those, using those words, but there are people, "Will somebody just show me?" Because I believe that there are sick people out there who are just looking for someone to show them the way. If we're going to rip into the darkness in our community and outside the walls of our building like this, we have to build bridges with people who have never come to a gathering like this. This can be a really scary place to come to. It can be, coming to those doors. I've had people who have come in, and they come into me and said, "You know what, I kind of came in our gathering, and I came in and I sat down and I found a place where nobody else was, and I was scared," and that's how they described it. "Now, I'm really thankful that somebody sought them out and they're coming to you." It's a scary, scary place to come to. But if we're going to be that, a gateway as a faith community, if we're going to be that as an individual, we have to be willing to move into the darkness. For some of us, it means taking serious the command of Jesus to be light in the darkness. And that makes some of us feel really uncomfortable. It means some of us will see the very person that Jesus created, whatever it is, the teacher, the carpenter, the musician, the author, the businessman, the employer, whatever it is, the experience, we'll take serious that. We'll see the you and you for him, the me and me for him. For some of us, it may mean a change in attitude. I would just tell you that this message lives more in my heart probably than yours today. I pray it does in yours. Well, I've said it before. I never come up here and teach a lesson like this without being so convicted myself. I want it to work in my heart first. And it has. As I opened up my heart to Jesus and said, "God, what is it what you want me to do?" You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that pretty much I'm in a sheltered work life. And for me to be a gateway, to do what I'm asking you to do, it means I got to find ways to be light in the darkness. If you're willing, God will open up the doors for you. He'll open up the doors for me to cultivate a relationship that allows us to be a gateway, a relationship with an unbeliever, someone who is far from him, someone who is searching. But we must invest ourselves in building those kinds of friendships with people who are far from Jesus, to do it individually and then as a faith community. One of the biggest criticisms of Jesus, we just read it, was what? That he hung out with sinners. He's a friend of sinners. He cultivated their relationship and he became their friend. You see, here's the danger. It's for me and it's for you. It's for all of us. We so risk the danger of removing ourselves from the world and protecting ourselves from the influence of the world and being safe from the influence of the world, that the world is now safe from any influence Christ wants to have through us. Did you get that? Sometimes we're so good at sheltering ourselves so we're not influenced with the world that we've effectively sheltered the world from influence of Christ, the influence he wants to have through us. Jesus taught us that the greatest investment that we will ever make is not in the things. Money and possessions disappear. Things that last forever are the lives of people. He has called us to do that. Something happens when we discover our purpose.
Hi, I'm Kathleen, and I am one of the teachers at Gateway Christian Schools. And one of the things that I do at Gateway is to assess students as they're coming in to our school as a new student. I had the opportunity to meet a young man who was planning to attend our school. And as I was testing him, he was very clear to tell me that he hates teachers. He said it to me several times, "I hate teachers, I hate teachers." So I asked him, "Why do you hate teachers?" And he said, "They're always telling me what to do." And I said, "Well, tell me what that looks like." And he said, "I don't know." they're just telling me what to do. And I said, well, for example, is it the teacher saying to you, open up to page 47 in your English book and start reading? What does that look like? And he said, they just have always given up on me. And I said, I'm not going to give up on you. And at that same time, God really spoke to me. And he reminded me that he's never given up on me. And if he's never given up on me, then how can I possibly give up on a little guy that wants so much to be loved and understood? And then later on, as I continued to work with him, he said, I'm so stupid. And I said, stupid? I said, God doesn't make stupid people. He said, I don't believe in God. And I said, oh, I believe in God. I really believe in God. And then I continued to talk about other things. Well, after maybe 15, 20 minutes, he said, well, it's not that I don't believe in God. I don't really know what I believe. I think I believe what other people believe. And he said, I believe what my neighbor believes. He believes in Buddha. And I kind of believe that, and I believe other things. And my mom says that there's a name for that, but I don't remember what it is. And once again, God spoke to me at that point and said, you just need to trust me. And I said to him, first of all, I'm not going to give up on you. And then I said, do you trust me? And he said, no. And I said, if you be patient with me, I said, you'll learn to trust me. And I believe wholeheartedly that God brought me to this school for this time, because he truly wants me to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I've wanted to be a missionary for so many years. And I always thought that it would be to go to some foreign country and work with people in another language. And again, it's very clear that he brought me here because this is my mission right here. These are my children. And this is what he wants me to do. And I'm so blessed and I'm so honored to be part of what God wants. And I want to be on his team.
Kathleen shared that story with me last week. See, that's what we're talking about. Jesus wants to use to you and you for him. And when we discover that, then we live with a brand new purpose of introducing people to the only one who can change a life. 9 out of the 12 students, that she works with are not believers. She sees her purpose in life now being, you heard it, his hands and his feet. We must create an environment individually and as a faith community that invites people in, that when people come in, they will experience Christ. I'm not talking about well-run programs. I thank God for we have such a huge volunteer team. I'm not talking about how well they're run or how you look or anything that goes on. They need to experience Jesus and what he has to offer. I will do whatever I can to live out that mission. And I'm just asking you to join me. I'm just asking each one of us to say, Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? What is it in me that you want to use? How do you want to use this faith community? How can we be a gateway? And to that end, we extend a special welcome to those who are single, married, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor, or who can't speak English. We extend a special welcome to those who are crying newborns, skinny as a rail, or could afford to lose a few pounds. We welcome you if you can sing like Andre Bocelli or like our pastor who can't carry a note in a bucket. You're welcome here if you're just browsing, just woke up, or you just got out of jail. We extend a special welcome to those who are over 60 but not growing up yet, and to teenagers who are growing up way too fast. We welcome soccer moms, football dads, starving artists, tree huggers, latte sippers, vegetarians, and junk food eaters. We welcome those who are in recovery or still addicted. We offer a special welcome to those who think the earth is flat, work too hard, don't work, can't spell, or because grandma's in town and you want to go to church. We offer a special welcome to those who are inked, pierced, or both. We offer a special welcome to those who could use a prayer right now, had religion shoved down our throat as a kid, who got lost in traffic and are here by mistake. We welcome tourists, seekers, doubters, bleeding hearts, and we welcome you. Gateway Fellowship seeks to be a gateway to experience the love of Christ. And I'm just asking you, will you join us on the mission? Will you be a part of that mission of living out the Jesus-centered mission? I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm just going to ask you, will you make these two commitments? Will you respond in this way? Will you allow that Jesus, will you allow whatever Jesus, that you and you, to be used for Him? Whatever Jesus is calling you to do, that you and you, you're the teacher, you're the carpenter, you're the mechanic, you're all these things. You're the person who has the ability to just listen to people. God's given you that talent. God's given you that gift. Will you allow the you and you to be used for Him? For some of us, we're going to commit that to Him right now. And it will be the first time. For some of us, maybe we're going to push back that part that says, I wish I was somebody else. And you're going to give that to Him right now. God's created you. Man, He knit you together to be used by Him, to bring people into new life, to introduce Him to Jesus. And then will you join me as a team, as a faith community? Can Gateway be that to others? And when people come in, can they sense Jesus? Can they see that in you, and can they see that in me? Can we individually, and we as a faith community, be that gateway, that access point that introduces people who are hungry and who are searching to the only one who can give life? Father, as we pray right now, I just pray that you would speak to each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that you have called us. Pray right now, Lord, that as you speak to each of our hearts, and for some of us, God, you're moving us out of our comfort zone. Maybe even in this moment, you're bringing to our mind someone that we can cultivate a friendship with, someone who is far from you. But God, you want to use the you in you, the me in me, the person you've created for your purposes. So right now, we're making that commitment brand new to you. We're giving it up to you, whatever it is. God, use us. And maybe for some of us, we've just felt like there's just no way God can use me. I've suffered, I have pain, but God wants to use that suffering. God wants to use that pain, whatever it is. God wants to use that talent. God wants to use that gift. So whatever it is, God, we're giving it up to you right now. As a faith community, I would pray that we be seen as a community of believers, a faith community that offers hope to people who are searching. So can we do that individually and collectively, I pray. God, I thank you for it. I just believe that as we make that commitment, some of us, it's a recommitment, some of us is brand new, that this week we're going to have the opportunity to do that. So God, we give those opportunities to you. Be with us as we go about our day and our week. Be with us as a faith community as we make decisions, we make plans to reach into our community. Help them not to be our plans, our programs, but yours. Ways, Lord, to be an access point. Ways to offer care and hope. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Please. thank you. That was just a trick so I could blow my nose. No, not really. thank you for coming today. Honestly, what I said earlier today, I'm just honored that you'd be here, so thank you for that. as you leave, remember, our host team will be at the doors. Let's just bless the Gideons. I mean, just think about 4,000 Bibles this past year, and so let's give generously to them. Alpha is out there in the lobby. I see them out there. The Rangers are out there. A lot of stuff going on. More stuff in your program, more stuff online and on our Facebook page. Well, God bless you. Have a great, great week. Praying for you. See you next Sunday.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.